Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
The next round of SEC expansion just became much clearer. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. I hope wherever you are today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this program, maybe you have gone to thepodcastpark.com and you click subscribe so it just shows up. And you're working when I'm doing the show live, and then after the shift, you get home, listen to it, whatever. It may be midnight and somebody's eating their takeout food while they listen to the show. You know what? Good for you. I appreciate it. The next round of SEC expansion just became much clearer. As a result of the details that we are expecting the new playoff contracts to include, and we then take those, and when I say the details, I mean the expansion to 12, how the field will be made up, no guaranteed bids, and Greg Sankey's like, okay, you don't have to guarantee, we'll make it. And Conference USA is like, can we speak? We kind of like that guarantee thing. So no guarantees, but also no caps on number of teams. And so Sankey is thinking, all right, well, if we always have and will forever get one out of four, and we're the only conference that annually has a real shot every year of, well, if anyone's going to get two, let's examine the SEC first, because they're always the most likely, always. Even last year when sort of ACC, Notre Dame made it in. But following the again, the release of the details of what is expected to be the structure of the playoffs, see, that's what the committee and Sankey and Bowlesby and every, that's what they come up with, and they say, here's the number of teams and when it happens and where the game will be. They give you details about the actual playing of the games, the unfolding of the playoffs. Well, the first round is here, and it's only 5 through 12. They give you all those details of matchups and bracket and how it will funnel down, etc. Then other people do projections on what it means money-wise. And as they say, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. As a result of those projections, as a result of the projections for the money for each of the conferences in college football, based on here's what everybody in Power 5 is guaranteed and Group of 5 is guaranteed, as well as a team that makes this level of bowl and that semifinal and that national championship game, and the further you advance, the more money you make. At least by tier, at least. That's how it is now. You make a New Year's Six bowl, you get this much money. You make a semifinal, you get that much money. And now we have a 12-team playoff with a multiple of millions of dollars that have been paid out already. Yeah, the new money, it's a multiple of what's been paid out. And when I say that the next round of expansion just got clear, yes, as in it's not happening. Not without one major condition, at least. There will be no Southeastern Conference expansion without one huge box covered up with ink. Reading those projections I was talking about, not just because we all know now in general how the 1 through 12 is going to work, the structure of that. Reading projections included by Stuart Mandel At The Athletic, the financial projections. This is why ain't no expansion happening in the SEC, almost certainly. The payout for the expanded playoffs means expanding by two teams would cost every existing member of the SEC a minimum of $3 million per season to start, and it would go up every single year for 12 years, assuming they play out these contracts. Which means, unless a program is at least a legit contender to make the 12-team field in a somewhat regular manner, yeah, you're not getting into the SEC now. Missouri realizes everybody in the room is looking at them now. Hey, guys. What's up? Everybody's looking at Missouri going, do you know how lucky you are that you made it in the last round? Can you imagine a 12-team playoff with this cash on the table? And Missouri, hey, everybody in Birmingham, heard y'all are looking for a new team. And are you here to give a letter of recommendation for OU? Oh, no. We thought we could be that team. That's when Akeem thinks he's going out with the daughter, but he's actually there to park cars. That would be Missouri. So they look around and go, whew, boy, did we get lucky. All right, so Missouri's already in. And the SEC, if they wanted to be cold-blooded, they go Big East Temple. Do y'all remember? Did I mention this last week? Do y'all know that Temple football used to be in the Big East Football Conference? All right, the Big East Basketball Conference used to be as good as there was in college hoops. There was one year, 1985, the Big East Basketball Conference, they had three of the final four teams. It's just unbelievable. They had a football conference as well. And so if you go back and look at what the Big East did to Temple, this was late 90s. They looked at Temple and was like, you stink so bad, we're kicking you out. You know, conferences were looking to add. Big East was like, nah, you stink. You're out. And I think they played in the MAC for a few seasons. So I don't think you're going that way. So Missouri, you're in. You made it. Vanderbilt, the baseball thing will carry you and the academics. The SEC announces seven Rhodes Scholars, four of them from Vanderbilt. So that's who's already in. Missouri's already in. Whew, ha! Let's talk about who's not in and who's not getting in. So, yeah, that Memphis thing or that UCF thing or almost everything that we have to, we need to recalibrate how we measure those programs, because it's not, look how many 12-team fields the Golden Knights would have made the past decade. Folks, that's not how you're measuring programs now. You're measuring the UCF Golden Knights by they wouldn't have made any 12-team fields because playing in the SEC, the Golden Knights were going to peak out about 8-4. They would have made two of those playoff fields, so they're carrying their weight. No, they're not, because they wouldn't have made any playoff fields. So, expansion? It used to be real popular when, like, fans, us, we would get involved with expansion and go, oh, I want the SEC to add Clemson, Florida State, Oklahoma, and Texas. Okay, that's great. You know who doesn't want that? Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Auburn, LSU. I'm naming the best programs. They don't want that. Nobody wants to look down on their schedule and see like a four-week stretch of Bama, Florida, LSU, Clemson. Thank you. No. But that's what fans would say. Ah, the SEC. And it was when the SEC was still 12 when they were talking about what eventually turned into Texas A&M and Missouri. Remember, we were talking about how the SEC and Sankey, they were just going to steamroll ahead of everybody, be the wave of the future, expand to a Super 16, and they were going to add two Texas schools and two Oklahoma. I was told to my face. It turned out to be correct. Chuck, the SEC is not going to expand into a state where they already have a school. I was like, oh, well, what an interesting way. So Clemson, no. Florida State, no. Miami, no. UCF, no. South Florida, no. Texas A&M, yes. Missouri, yes. Memphis, sorry, bud. Tulane, you had your chance. Georgia Tech, I was told that, and it turned out that way. But all these other programs that we were talking about to get the Memphis TV market or the Orlando TV market, hush. At this point, the only programs that will be considered are those that best you can project in sports would at least be in the annual conversation to potentially make a 12-team field. And at this point in 2021, folks, I'm not predicting anything, and I'm not even offering actual guesses. I'm just going to give you a random example that I think kind of makes the point. Do you know the level of program that is the absolute bottom rung on the ladder that the SEC would – football program they would consider now? Virginia Tech. That's absolutely, and I'm not saying Virginia Tech specifically. Like West Virginia, they may look at you now and go, you might have had your shot too. So that's the level you're talking about, because you have to be a program that, wait a minute, if you're going to take you and whoever we bring in the first year of these contracts, you're taking $6 million a year out of my pocket? And that's to start. It goes up every year. Yeah, how about you actually make the 12-team field so you bring – because if you make 12-team field, you bring back more to your conference. Folks, that is your flag to watch when expansion and realignment talks start. It's which programs can pull their weight when it comes to divvying up the playoff shares.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.
Football, no matter where you go, with a new Southern Sports Today app. Catch the best college football conversation in the South everywhere with the SST live stream and daily podcast. Download it now at the App Store and the Google Play Store. Now more of the best college football talk in the country. It's the Chuck Oliver Show.
The older you get, you have to adapt. This game is changing. Recruiting's changing. Things are changing fast. We just have to adapt. So hey, if they expand, hey, good. You know, have to play more games, but you have to adapt. I think it's going that way. It looks like it's going that way. They get us into the playoffs, I'm going to be happy.
I appreciate the honesty. And I mean this, just the starkness of this comment. I don't think that Coach O, that's Ed Ogeron, he's talking with Marty and McGee, right? Yeah. I don't believe that he was intending to be that transparent as he was, because you know what he just said? He said, I'm an NCAA basketball coach, and I love that you just expanded the field, because it allows me a more likely outcome of, hey, we went dancing. That's what Coach Ogeron, he's like, yeah, expand the field, better chance for us to go to the playoffs. It's tough for me to hear that, because he's actually been to the playoffs. He knows how difficult it is to get to the playoffs. He knows what that looks like. He lived it. And he's like, oh, yeah, lower the bar. I want to go back in time. I was a little bitty kid, a second grader, as a matter of fact. And I was raised a Bama fan. My whole dad's family is from Alabama, Bruton and Castleberry, et cetera, down into Mobile. Mom's from the Panhandle. So, yeah, whole family tree's eating up Alabama fans. And so I was raised a Bama fan. Dan, I want to ask you, I'm not trying to lead you to anything, just top of mind, be honest. Give me a letter grade for your evaluation of what the Liberty Bowl game is right now in 2021.
C-.
You're probably spot on. And if it wasn't in a cool place like Memphis, D+.
Oh, maybe even D-.
Like the barbecue and Beale Street and Graceland.
Yeah, all of those.
That kind of ups it to a C-.
Yeah, I mean, I really want some barbecue nachos now.
You're 100% right, Dan. C- for the Liberty Bowl. And by the way, I'm the biggest Liberty Bowl guy in this town. And Dan is correct. When you factor in the Q, the King, Beale Street, all of that. C-. Last year, West Virginia and Army played in the Liberty Bowl. Neither one of them was ranked. The year before that, number 21 Navy played unranked Kansas State. The year before that, number 24 Missouri played unranked Oklahoma State. The Liberty Bowl, my goodness, went from 2005 to 2016 without a single ranked team playing in the Liberty Bowl. So Dan's probably spot on, C-. When I was a second grader, remember staying up late one night to watch the Liberty Bowl with my father because Alabama was playing in it. Alabama was playing UCLA. Number 16 Alabama versus number 7 UCLA in the Liberty Bowl. And it was on December 20th. 7 versus 16. December 20th. That's when you had about 12 bowls. And making a bowl mattered. It was an achievement. You had done something. And a lot of other coaches were like, wow, if I could just say I made a bowl, that'll help me. I'm in Dutch with the athletic director and the boosters and everybody else. I need a bowl. I need to go to a bowl game. Oh, we have more bowls now. I need to go to March Madness. Oh, more teams make it. Folks, we keep inventing ways for literally the exact same outcome to result in a brand new achievement. If I just said that in this year's Liberty Bowl, West Virginia and Army played in the Liberty Bowl. Their coaches went to a bowl game. Where'd you go? Liberty Bowl. Oh, wow. Do you know what it took in 1976 to make the Liberty Bowl? It took Bear Bryant, and I guess that's Pepper Rogers, maybe? Or was that already Terry Donahue or Dick Vermeil? It took a heck of a lot more to get that achievement. As we go through, and now we're a playoff team. Yeah, because you tripled the field. What up, Dan?
Well, the other part of it as well is a guy that we're going to talk with tomorrow about this, about the blue chip ratio that 24/7 Sports just put out. Bud Elliott going to join us bottom of hour two tomorrow, pointing out that the haves and the have-nots are only going to increase with the expanded playoffs. Chuck, it's kind of like when the NBA, I don't remember when, they went from 8 seeds on both sides of it, and people were saying, well, it's too many people. No, it doesn't matter, because year in and year out, there's still only a handful of teams that you look at and say actually has a shot. Just because you're in the tournament in basketball doesn't take away the fact that one team has a superstar. They've got length, they've got size, they've got everything that you don't have. And in basketball, those weaknesses are very much shown, and the strengths are the ones that reign out. In this case, it's going to be the same thing. No matter how many you expand, it's going to be the teams that were on the outside looking in that they wanted to try to get in that are going to be the ones easily in. It's still going to be the have-nots that are still going to be looking in.
It is Tuesday, which means that we always welcome Dave Bartu. Bottom of hour one, that is next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right. You can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today. AccentRoofingService.com.
It's always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
Almost all the discussion I've heard about the new opportunities and the financial windfall, potentially, the financial improvements, almost all the commentary I've heard regarding how the expanded playoff field, as we all generally understand it, it hadn't been officially announced, 12 teams, et cetera, how that's going to affect group of five teams. All the commentary has left out one huge, huge component of that conversation. A San Jose State or Boise or Nevada or whomever, you can improve because of expanded playoffs so we get more money. Yes, you can improve compared to yourself. But did you gain ground on those you compete with? What I hope we've all realized over the past 15 years or so, no matter what we thought preseason and no matter what Boise did to Virginia Tech or Georgia or whoever in a week one game, like, Boise doesn't even apply here because they never were competing with Power 5. Not really, okay? Not on a it's December 5th and we just got the 4-seed level. Boise was TCU, when they were still a group of five, they were never competing with Power 5. That's the reality. And so, I like I said, there's less opportunity to win a national championship now because you're going to tell me Boise's going to win three of those games or Nevada or San Jose or Colorado State's going to win three of those games, whereas before they just had to win two. Ain't happening, Captain. Want to welcome on now a man who can break down all manner of numbers and projections as we have been talking about, whether it's recruiting or roster management or certainly playoff expansion, from CFB Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, how are you on this Tuesday?
Good. I am doing good, and you are dead on. No. You are dead on, okay? When you're talking about group – actually, it's not just group of five. It's anybody, okay? If you're a fan of a non-elite recruiter, the more games it takes to win a national title, the more it is against you. Period. That's it. I mean, here, I'll give you an example. Okay, you're Boise State. All right? You get the shot at a national championship. You got to play three teams. Or you're down three. You get one possession to win it all.
Boom.
What are you taking?
I'll take scenario B.
Right?
I'll go for two at the end of regulation.
Right, yeah, because 1 in 100 could happen just one time. But if you actually have to go through all 100 tries, you're going to fail every single time. So, you know, to me, the farther they draw it out, the more it favors depth. I know they're talking about inclusive, you know, including more teams, bowl system,
blah,
this, that, and the other.
Blah, blah, blah.
But it's a numbers game. And the deeper you are, i.e. recruiting, the deeper you are, the better you're going to survive a longer, harder season.
Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix. Give everybody the elevator speech about who you are and what you do.
Tell stories with numbers to everybody who wants to pay for it, right?
Anybody related. You know what? College football, pro football, whatever. You're right. If you would like a reliable, predictive outcome about what is likely to happen if you hire or fire or change or whatever, it's Dave Bartu and CFB Matrix. Is that right?
That's essentially it. In the last week, I've expanded into the NFL officially. And I have a meeting this week with a very significant sports apparel company that wants to talk about using numbers and finding athletes.
You know, you told me that you had gotten a call from somebody on the Board of Regents about fundraising and using numbers for fun. Wasn't it fundraising he wanted to talk about?
It was the first call that I got from your show. That's why we kind of talk about it, because you don't know who's listening out there. There's a lot of people listening. And, yeah, I got a someone reached out and wanted to talk about using analytics to narrow fundraising. Basically what it is become more efficient. That's what telling the story with numbers is. So with fundraising, it's all about segmenting the people you're marketing your fundraising efforts to. So spending less on people you know in the past have a profile that aren't going to donate money, and spending more money and time on the people that have a profile that matches people that have donated in the past.
Bunch of ones and zeros to him. Again, Dave Bartu, and it's CFB Matrix on Twitter. Give everybody the number.
503-504-8710. Call, text, anybody, anytime, anywhere. College football. Just like this show.
All right, you are now. I said ones and zeros. The man can write code. He's brilliant, et cetera. But you are, I have to imagine, very obviously analytical and detailed and exact, because that's what math and science and all that percentage. It's exact. It's a number. How do you quantify this next statement? Because I'm very confident about it. Bronco Mendenhall has the best culture in college football. All right.
Ooh, I can't. Culture. There's no numbers with that, buddy.
That's right. How do you add value to what Bronco is based on that? Because you can do it on recruiting, special teams play, how you use the transfer portal. You can do it on all this stuff. How do you do it on something that just kind of floats out there in the ether? Culture.
So how do you go about doing this? Okay, when a client has this kind of question. All right. What you need to do is you need to create the before, during, and after, basically questionnaire. You need to profile all of your guys coming in and going through the program. So you need to have an extremely detailed questionnaire that's easy to fill out, and they profile themselves before they come in. And then each year you ask them to update a new report. And so to create that culture, If that's something that you're trying to, let's say you're focused on that culture, and you say, okay, these guys, so here's, we do these surveys over the next 4, 5, 6 years, and we have discovered that this profile is the best at building our culture. So now you take past results and use it to predict future cultural whatever decision paradigms or stratification or however you want to phrase it, you're using the past information of players to further develop the program going forward. So it's basically using numbers and patterns to weed out the guys that are bad for culture.
That is Dave Bartu from CFB Matrix. All right, I want to ask you, and also, you know, there are outcomes that I have to imagine as you looked at this. There would be outcomes, consistent outcomes, that would develop from programs with, quote, great culture. And I don't know what it would be, penalties, turnovers, fewer transfers, better grades. I don't know what, but I bet there would be emerging threads that kind of, you know, would weave them its way through the programs that you would describe as having, quote, really good culture. I bet that there would be consistent variables there.
One of the things that we're always trying to do when we're establishing, and you call it culture, people listen and may call it something else, but one of the things that we are always trying to do is reduce attrition, because most people don't understand how much time and money a coaching staff spends to get a letter of intent signed. It is ridiculous. Okay. And if you can reduce, let's say you can use the numbers and reduce attrition and make a better team, but just reduce attrition by one guy per year. That's four guys signing a letter of intent over 4 years. That's probably 12 to 20 guys that you're recruiting less. So if you're having to recruit less, if you're having to travel less, if you're having to sell the program less, it means one of two things. You're going to get maybe a little bit more sleep, or you're going to get more time coaching in the facilities, not on the road. So, yeah, I think there's a cumulative effect from an attrition standpoint, trying to get better players that stick so you can coach more and travel less. I think that is a big deal.
All right, it's funny you said that. Before we're going to take a break in just a second, but I'm so glad that you answered that way, because it kind of leads into exactly what I was going to ask you about. My opinion. Mm-hmm. I think Mike Locksley is the number one example of just collect talent. No matter the fit, the scheme, it's an option quarterback and we're a spread program. Let's just see how many Saturdays talent carries the day, because I look at his recruiting classes and I'm like, that kid isn't really what he does. And that kid, that's not really what they do. I think he just wants the 85 best kids he can get, and let's see how it turns out on a Saturday.
Yeah, and that's not a bad strategy, because I don't believe in development of players as much as the common fan does. A lot of fans believe that their program is great at developing. By the numbers, I think the guy has it or he doesn't. I think the guy that makes it through Maryland or Rutgers or Minnesota or Ohio State, I think you can give that same guy the same chance, because he's going to basically get the same food, he's going to get the same sleep, he's going to get the same weight room. Almost everything is the same across the board, except his individual talent, his individual drive. So, to me, if that's Coach Locksley's drive right now, is just, okay, we need to find the best talent, then he needs to find the best coaches that can evaluate talent, not develop it. Evaluate the talent. So I would say, you know, if a coach said, look, this is my easy way of doing it, I'm going to get great guys that are good at evaluating, and I'm just going to get the 85 best evaluations available to my program, whether it's UTEP or Alabama or Maryland, I don't have a problem with that. It's really efficient. I think maybe there's some granular things that are better to do with it, but yeah, I would go with something like that if you have the right staff to do it.
And especially, I mean, I don't mean to, you know, we live in the adult world. We can speak freely, correct? Maryland ain't going to win that division, much less the conference. If they finish third, like if they on average finish third, fourth, he can coach there as long as he wants, I believe, because they're not beating Ohio State, and they're probably not going to beat either Michigan or Penn State, maybe either. So they're a third, fourth team. That's like the end of the rainbow for Maryland. And I think privately, you know, every administration is like, we want championships. Nah, I think if they could finish third in their division in the Big Ten in football, I think they'd be happy as clams.
Well, they should be, but remember, they did fire Ralph Friedman, who was damn good.
And an alum.
Right? So some programs are a bit too far over their skis for expectations. But that being said, given Mike Locksley's track record as a head coach, third place for anybody he's in charge of would be phenomenal. I would take that all day. So we'll see where it goes with his OC-DC pairing right now. But he's doing a good job recruiting. We'll see how it translates on the field with the X's and O's.
All right, Dave Bartu, he is CFB Matrix. You can get him on Twitter. He gave you his phone number, for gosh sakes. We're going to break. Come back. More with Dave on a Tuesday next.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football with the Chuck Oliver Show. And I'm laughing because our guest right now, bottom of hour one every Tuesday, we have Dave Bartu on from College Football Matrix. The reason I'm laughing is because we had talked about a month ago, he brought it up the first time. And then I asked him about literally last week, hey, Dave, talk about that thing again where it's better to recruit quarterbacks who are close to home because at homesick, or they need somebody to pet them and tell them they're pretty. You know, with a quarterback, it's just different. And then what happens like 2 days later, the former starting quarterback at Colorado decides, I'm going home to Oregon, man. I'm going to go play for the Beavers. And a really, really, really exciting, fun head coach that nobody outside of Oregon knows about. Want to welcome back on now, again, from CFB Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Did the quarterback transfer to the Beavers, did that make news around there? That intrigued me a little bit.
It rippled pretty good for as little as people pay attention to college football out here, which, you know, for your listeners, I mean, your show's 24/7 college football.
Yeah.
This time of year, if any local radio talks about college football for maybe 15, 20, I mean, two segments of college football today in Portland would be like, wow, that's a lot of college football. But no, it is a big deal, especially when you find out that I think their backup quarterback, a freshman, he's hurt. So he's looking to be out for the year before the season even starts. So, yeah, it is a pretty big deal for Oregon State. And I do like they're bringing an Oregon kid back. Like you said, opening up coming out of the break, the prima donna positions. I preach this to every coach. Beware of the prima donna positions, quarterback, running back, wide receiver. The farther you go away from campus, the greater the odds of attrition go up in your program with those guys.
Continue with Dave Bartu again, CFB Matrix. All right, well, let's jump back onto the field now in the SEC. And just you can either talk about, if you want to, the specific situation with Kentucky and their defensive coordinators. And I say coordinators because it's plural now. If you got a guy and either you fire him and replace him with co-coordinators, or you just add somebody to it. Hey, you were the coordinator last year. We're going to add somebody. That's what Kentucky's done. Do you have any particular opinion about how that arrangement works, and if it's better or less than a team having one coordinator on the side of the football?
I don't really care about that part of it. You know, a lot of times you'll see guys, they're called co-defensive coordinators just to keep a guy around and give him a raise, mm-hmm. basically change his title, pay him some more money. But ultimately, if I'm a fan, I want to know who is calling the plays. Because it ain't going to be both guys, right? I mean, you're not going to do alternating quarterback situation where you go, hey, Chuck, okay, it's first down. Dave, you got second down. Okay, Chuck, you got third down.
Yeah.
We're not playing that game. So you'll see that co-defensive coordinator crap all the time. But I want to know, and this is one of the things that we are always trying to find out, is who's calling the plays. If it's the same guy for Kentucky as last year, that wasn't a very good defense. So maybe they make some changes, but overall, Kentucky, I think that has been Stoops' biggest shortcoming. He's been an excellent recruiter. He has changed the talent stratification at Kentucky significantly. He has not been able to find a good OC or good DC consistently while he's been there.
Couple more minutes again, Dave Bartu on a Tuesday from College Football Matrix. I want to stay in the SEC and ask you about a program such as Vanderbilt and then a program such as Alabama. And I just want to give you like a recruiting example because this happens. I know what happens. There's a linebacker out of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, and he's a three-star. If he commits to Vanderbilt, then there's a little bit of a cocked eye, and it's like, all right, well, he's a three-star. If he commits to Alabama, he's a four-star instantly. Like, the exact people who have given him a three-star, when he commits to Bama, he's a four-star. Do you figure in any sort of inherent bias, like when you see coordinators or assistants that Alabama hires, do you give them an automatic, maybe I'll give them another once over, maybe I need to review, maybe I need to think more of this guy because he just got hired by Nick Saban?
Well, here's kind of, I've never really expanded on this. Nobody's really ever asked the question, and I've never written about it. But it's funny you're kind of going there with a singular example. And it's been pointed out a lot before. And I'm sure it happens, right? I mean, I'm sure the situation you just described happens. But when you look at the numbers, it happens every year for everybody. Okay, because think about this. How often do you consistently hear, no matter how good or bad the class is, that our average ranking of player is, this is the best class we've ever had for average ranking of player? You hear that all the time,
Oh, from
right?
Programs? Absolutely.
Right.
Oh, it's like the Olympic chairman. This was the best Olympic Games in history.
Right. But this is what I call, recruiting ranking creep. Okay. In the last 15 years, the average, if you take every single ranked guy in college football that has signed a letter of intent for Power 5, if you take them and average out their ranking each year for the last 15 years, the average rank of a guy has gone up every year but one. Every single year. So basically what the ranking guys are saying out there, your 247s, your scouts, they're saying that every single year the average football player improves in America. Every single year. So my hypothesis is that, well, in order to get the clicks, in order for people to get talking about it, they have to keep bumping the number up because nobody wants to talk about a lesser class. Wants a reason.
Can I give you a funny example? Because my wife, she's a pretty petite lady, and she says that pants have gone like it used to be size 2 and then size 0. She's like, they started making like what used to be a size 4, they throw a 2 on there now. What used to be an 8, they throw a 6 on because they want to make women feel better about themselves.
Right, you know, but the airlines say, "Hey, we might have to cut things back because America's so damn fat."
It's the exact same thing. It's the same outcome, but we're just going to put a different number on it to make you feel good.
No, it's like golf clubs. That's a 7-iron, dude. I hit this my new 7-iron 185. Yeah, well, it has the loft of your 5-iron.
Yeah, it's
so
a little flatter up
really
front.
Really not a 7. Exactly. So in recruiting, there is a national creep. The numbers are constantly moving up. So when people say, oh, this is our best ranked class, bullcrap. You don't listen to that. That is absolutely 100% worthless. Totally worthless. What only matters is your ranking relative to everybody else because everybody's class has been going up every single year, almost unilaterally for the last 15 years.
It goes all the way back to what we started with at the bottom of the hour was that you can be improving, quote, but it matters versus who you're competing against. Dave, always appreciate it on a Tuesday, man. It's great stuff. Thank you.
Have a great week, brother.
All right, Dave Bartow again, College Football Matrix. Yeah, you can be improving and recruiting, but if you were 8th in your conference and now you're 9th, oh, we got higher-ranked recruits. Yes, you do. And you lost ground. So that's, you know, if you happen to be, you know, Butch Jones, and you're head coach, you are head coach in Knoxville when Kirby gets hired. You're raising your recruiting class rankings, by and large, each February. But Kirby showed up and took Georgia from 9-1. So you're improving versus yourself, but you're not playing yourself. Look down the schedule, you're not there anywhere. So whether it's Boise and more money because of playoff expansion, or it's the Tennessee Vols in improving their recruiting rankings, it only matters. It only has any worth, any value, any context if you're telling me it's against those you compete with.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey, sandwich lovers. Today's your lucky day. There's a whole new way to roll for lunch or dinner delight with Nucky's Hoagies in the Roswell Corners Shopping Center. Now open. Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell is family owned and operated by the sub-sisters, Stacy and Shannon, whose love language is food and Nucky's Hoagies, their passion. When you bite into a Nucky's Hoagie, you'll taste the difference. The softest hoagie rolls ever, along with hunger-quenching sandwich combinations. Make Nucky's Hoagies in Roswell on Woodstock Road your new favorite spot for lunch or dinner.